there, everybody. It is Wednesday, October 24th, 2012, and you are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm your host, Ken Schneck. As always, you can get in touch with us by dropping us a line. Send that email on over to ken@thisshowisogay.com. Stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com to learn all about the fun things happening with our little gay radio show that could. And of course, go to the Facebook. Type in This Show Is So Gay, like us, because we sure as heck like you. We are kicking things off with one of our favorite guests who has taken quite some time off from our show. We're going to find out in a minute if it's personal. Let me introduce him. Jack McEnroth is a fashion designer, a model, an AIDS activist, a competitive swimmer. Fresh out of Parsons, Jack opened a menswear store in the West Village called Jack. He then went on to work for Tommy Hilfiger, designing knits for the women's line and doing fashion illustrations for the entire division. From there, he went back into menswear, designing for Slate's brand under the Levi's umbrella. He then appeared on season 4 of Project Runway, which, let's just say it, he should have won. He's worked with HIV and AIDS charities such as God's Love We Deliver, Project Open Hand, and now he's the spokesperson and co-creator of Voltage.com, a first-of-its-kind social networking website that we're going to talk all about. Jack McEnroth, welcome back to This Show Is So Gay.
Howdy!
Sir, do you know how long it's been? It's been 2.5 years since you've been on our show.
Oh my God, really?
Yes!
Time flies when you're a busy whore like me.
Are you saying that you've been up to things in the past 2.5 years?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a worker bee. I never, ever stop, ever. And hopefully Voltage, my latest project, will be my kind of swan song where I can just really focus everything on this. It'll explode and, you know, down the road I can retire because I've been hoofing it for a really long time.
Well, we'll get to Voltage. Let's get this out of the way first. Now, do you watch each season of Project Runway?
I don't want to be that guy that's like, no, I don't watch it anymore. But I do. I mean, it's a weird thing because once you're in the Project Runway family, you're sort of never out of it. Like, I've met all the designers from the current season, and I think most of the rest of the country, I kind of lost a little bit of interest when it went to Lifetime.
Right.
So, I still watch it. I DVR it, and I'm not like, oh my God, like, you remember when before my season, like season 3 and stuff, I was like, oh my God, I think it was on Wednesday then, and every Wednesday I was like, oh my God, I can't wait for it to be so good. And now I'm like, oh yeah, that's on. I'll watch it later. Like, but I still love it. I mean, I think it's still a really great show. I think, I didn't think this season, I'm up to about, I have the finales left. So.
Okay.
I thought they were okay.
I have to say, my only moment that I want to get your take on of this whole season, because I did watch the season, I go like, I'll take 3 seasons off and then I'll come back and I'll watch a season.
Right.
But that one moment where Ven, the designer Ven, was so cruel to the everyday woman when they had to do the everyday woman's design.
Yeah. Oh, I remember.
That's not okay, is it, Jack McEnroth?
No, and you know this thing that I mean. I don't think the audience understands what kind of pressure they're under, and maybe it was some sort of cultural thing for him. I don't know, but he was a little bit oblivious, anyways, because they kept saying, "Don't do that goddamn flower design one more time."
Right.
And he kept doing it, and his final. He also did a final collection. Because he was one of the decoys, and he had it all over his final collection. I was like, girl, you ain't listening. But the other thing I thought about that whole moment when he was being mean to that woman, I was like, child, you ain't no size 2 yourself.
Exactly.
Like, you ain't going to blow away in the wind anytime soon. So, I just thought it was really insensitive. And he said a couple other things about women and the women weren't good designers, or I don't know. He didn't come off very well. The other thing I always think about, these people that go on these reality shows now, it's like, you know, we've been doing reality TV for what, like 15 years
now? Oh, yeah.
Do you not watch the show before you go on it?
Right.
Like, do you not know that if you say awful things, they're going to, like, snatch that right up and make you look like a complete tool? So it's always pretty shocking to me that people are like, I don't really like how that's portrayed. Right. I'm like, okay.
That was edited badly. No, you actually said that.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, we can't actually digitally, we don't have the money to CGI stuff and put it in your mouth. So you actually said that woman was fat.
Now, if he had said, oh, that was dubbed, that was a hologram, that wasn't me, I would have,
right,
that might have had some traction.
Hologram. Yeah.
Now, are you designing? Are you designing these days?
Yeah, well, my life, like you read in my ever way too long bio, is after Project Runway, it took this crazy turn, and I became like the HIV guy, which
right.
is great. And I think what people don't know is I was designing in New York for 17 years before I went on the show, and many of the design jobs out there are not like what you imagine fashion design to be. Like, so I worked at this company for 4 years as a creative director called Weatherproof, and, you know, I just emailed Bangladesh and I sat at a cubicle, and, you know, I could have gone back to that, but I didn't want to. And having your own line was like a 1 in 500 chance of making it. So,
right.
So I got a lot of opportunities presented to me. I worked for Merck for a long time as their HIV spokesperson. I've done a ton of like public speaking, and that's kind of the vein I just went with. And fashion design is a full-time, fairly thankless job. And basically everyone from our season, with the exception of Christian Siriano, that went out and tried to do their own line failed.
Yeah.
That was a long answer to your question. Yes, I do. If someone wants like a specialty piece or something like that, and I've done, you know, like a few dresses for celebrities and made a few wedding dresses, and but I just, unless it's worth my time and money, I really can't right now.
Yeah.
I'll probably go back to it at some point in my life. But I want to make a whole bunch of money first, and then
there you go.
Well, I mean, because it takes, fashion is not lucrative in general, and I'd rather, you know, make money doing something like Voltage and then come back and say, like, okay, now I have, you know, $500,000 worth of capital.
Right.
I'm going to start a line of swimwear and underwear, something, I don't know, you know?
Do you see yourself designing more swimwear? I mean, you know better than anybody.
Well, you know, it's funny because I just realized through all this whole process, it's like, you kind of got to have a gimmick. And I've seemed to fall in, and after the show, I seem to fall into, like, people like to take my picture with my clothes on. So, I mean, I'm just going with it. You know, it's like, it's a really, being a D-list celebrity or whatever the hell I am, a reality cast off, it's a really bizarre experience because there's so many of us now, and finding a way to stay relevant if you want to go that route. I mean, it's easy to go on TV and then leave and then it disappear, which
right.
most people do. But if you want to kind of keep your 15 minutes of fame going, it's really hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a publicist and an agent, and I'm constantly promoting myself on Facebook and doing interviews and radio shows like this. And it's work. And so that alone is a full-time job. So, when I do photo shoots, and please, I'm not 25 anymore, so it's a big deal for me to do them. I know that it's going to get a certain amount of attention, especially if I have an issue that I want to talk about
right.
or something in tandem that I'm launching or whatever. It's an easy way, especially for the gays, to be like, oh, here's a picture of my butt. And also, there's a new website I'm launching or something like that. So
I will say that you do yield more. If we're one to do a Google search for Jack McEnroth shirtless, you do get more results than, say, for Paul Ryan shirtless. There are more.
Oh, darn it.
I'm just saying that is quite the lucrative search. We're one to do that. I'm not saying that I have.
No. And actually, the funny thing is I believe it or not, never had not Google image searched myself until last year. And you know how it pulls up blocks of like, you know, 80 pictures at a time. And it was all pictures of me, and then the very, very last one was a picture of the drag queen Sherry Vine.
That's good company.
I'm like, that is so awesome. Well, I love her anyways, but I was like, I must have somehow got tagged with me, which I thought was so funny. I was like, oh my God. Look at the, and I took a screen pic of the whole thing. I'm like, look at my last photo. It's amazing.
Look how good I look. Yes, yeah. I was on the black sandy beach for the other ones, but look, here I look like Sherry Vine.
Yeah, so good.
Well, you mentioned AIDS activism. Talk to us about, this is one of those things that in 4+ years of this show, we're still feeling like we have to struggle to bring more and more attention to HIV and AIDS, because of course you have segments of the community that feel like we're on it. We got it covered. Activism doesn't need to be that inspired these days because we have this issue covered. What is the state right now of HIV and AIDS activism?
Well, you know, I think it's the double-edged sword. And in my talking around the country, I always say, I go, listen, the good news is that the treatment options are awesome. Like if you have, especially if you have early diagnosis, and of course if you have access to healthcare, the prognosis is really, really good. I mean, it can be, at best case scenario, an annoying chronic illness. So that's the good news. As a result, unfortunately, for, you know, most of the people that we think of, like, you know, the Chelsea Queens and people in my daily life and people live in Manhattan, people mm-hmm. live in major cities, and that are HIV positive or find out that they're HIV positive, they can live quietly and fairly contently and not talk about it. So there's not the urgency of the ACT UP days where we're like, people were dying, so we needed to be vocal and talk about it. So as a result, the stigma of living with HIV has become suffocating because people that don't have it and don't live with it and don't work in the HIV community don't hear about it. And it's like, oh, yeah. I mean, I've had people say, like, oh, I thought that was cured. Or, yeah, like, I don't hear about that anymore. And I mean, it's not a glamorous disease. I mean, for a while, it was the cause du jour, and celebrities were all getting around it. And, I mean, I still go to a lot of really great AMPAR events, and there is a lot of work going on, but it's just not in the national and international discussion like right. it used to be. And I think about that, and I think about what who's doing a really great job of that, and it's, you think about it, it's breast cancer awareness.
Oh yeah,
because they're everywhere. But it was interesting because this is a total aside, but Barbara Streisand recently was on the Katie Couric talk show, and she brought up a really interesting point, and she's like, you know why breast cancer gets a lot of traction? It's because men like breasts.
Yeah,
and it's breasts are very important to men, and it's a very sort of positively sexually tied disease, where HIV and AIDS can be the reverse, where
right.
it's like there's a lot of blame and a lot of shame, a lot of stigma, and it's hard to talk about. So, I mean, that's kind of the state of affairs. It just is a constant battle that people don't want to engage in. And, I mean, that we can get to segue into the website when how I'm dealing with that and coming at it from a different vantage point, but
please.
I actually think what I'm doing can have a big impact.
Well, let's get to it. Voltage.com. First of all, how do we come up with a name? And of course, I want to hear some of the names that were discarded.
You know what? I'm really good at that kind of thing. And I just did a whole brainstorming session where I was like, okay, positive, negative, charged, sexually charged, lightning, like, and it came out in the short, it was in the short list, and actually, so it's VOLTTAGE, and because voltage.com is some electric company somewhere, so we had to change the spelling, just like Grindr is not spelled correctly, because who cares, it's a made-up word.
Right.
And the initial logo was VOLTTAGE, and the T's were positive signs. Because it's like, you know, two positive, HIV-positive people coming together.
Okay.
And then we played with the logo more and more, and my other designer was like, I don't like those two T's. It looks weird. And I was like, I kind of agree. So now the logo is two T's turned on their side coming together to make a plus sign. So it kind of, actually, it's hard to, you don't really see, I don't think people see that, and it's going to be one of those things I've actually had to explain to a lot of people. But just like Grindr, people eventually through word of mouth will be figure it out and it won't be a big deal. But you know, I mean, that was the whole thing. I wanted something that was sexually charged, that played with the positive, negative, aspect of it. So, and I wanted it to be kind of a masculine sounding word. And so it just, when I said it, and I have two partners in Dallas, and they're both like, yep, that's it.
There you go. Now, where did the idea come from? Because this is different. This is not just because I want to stop people right here and say, this is not just a site about people meeting other people. There's
right.
a lot more going on here.
Right. And it's going to be a lot more going on as well. We're going to keep, like I said, there's just three of us, and it started rather, we've been working on it since February, and the amount of work that goes into building a website from scratch, and ours is beautiful, and I'm really pleased with it. But we're probably 70% there, and we still have to do a mobile app, and we are going to add a ton more stuff. But so basically, Voltage.com was, the impetus of it for me was that because I am the go-to guy, and I'm so public about my status, and I'm in the media all the time, is I get messages on Facebook and through my jackofmackerels.com, and my email is fairly public if you want to find it. I can't tell you. I probably get, unfortunately, like 10 a week from people that are like, I just seroconverted, I'm freaking out, or my health is not great, what should I do? And actually the main thing that was reoccurring was it was that about disclosure and dating. Like, when people find out they're HIV positive and they think their sex life is over and they're unlovable and they're dirty and they deserved it or they blame themselves, and when do they disclose and how do they disclose? And I belong to a couple other, because website dating is very comfortable for HIV positive people because you can just disclose on the site and then you don't have to have the conversation, which it's never fun, and usually it doesn't end in your favor in most cases, unfortunately, because people just don't get it. So so I thought, why don't I just create a site where, and the great thing about Voltage is that we don't have a box where you check your status, because we stand, our positioning on that is that everybody should assume that their partner or anyone they're meeting is HIV positive, okay, and proceed accordingly. Because what's the point of asking someone their status unless they tell you they're positive? Because if someone says they're negative, just what does that mean? Oh, we could have unsafe sex now, and are they even telling the truth? And 20% of the population doesn't know,
right,
that they're positive. So there's all those factors that I was like, it gives people a really false sense of security when people are like, oh, yeah. And then for a positive person on those sites, you just feel like there's a lot of drug and disease free, which is just, clean, only, safe, neg, UB2. And I don't think HIV negative people are necessarily trying to make HIV positive people feel bad. But in doing that, it's like, oh, well, if you're clean, then I'm dirty. You know what I mean? So basically, we just wanted to circumvent the whole stigma and the whole questioning process by, we don't ask people their status. We're clearly marketing to HIV-positive men. The tagline is positively sexy men. All our models are HIV-positive. So that was, in a nutshell, the short version. And then, like you said, what it is right now, it is, if you go on and look at it, it looks pretty much like a hookup site, a dating site, and then we have health information and news information, which is going to be beefed up. And then, there's three of us working for free for probably the next 4 months until the mobile app comes out. Then, as we move along, we're going to be adding, in the next month, we're adding a more social aspect to it, where,
okay,
you can have a blurb where you say, I'm a competitive swimmer and I host a radio show and blah, 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 blah. And then you can check, I like outdoors, I like pets, I like, higher education, I like athletes.
Are you writing mine for me? This is great.
I know, totally. So, and then we're going to have, we're going to hopefully have, eventually we'll have our own blog, which we do now, but we're so busy, we really post once a week. And then we'll have comments where members can comment. And then we're also going to add chat forums where people can talk about medical questions. We're going to tie in with a ton of other sites that people can get resources from. We have Dr. Frank Spinelli on staff.
Oh, great.
Who who's done a one-pager now, like HIV 101, what to do when you're diagnosed, but he's going to do a more regular sort of blog type of thing. So, I mean, the possibilities are really, really endless. What it is it just depends on our membership. We, in 3 weeks, believe it or not, we're approaching 3,000 members.
Wow.
3 weeks. I know. So, and it certainly was a huge, the first week was really crazy, and it's tapered off, and it will ebb and flow as I do press, and we can't afford advertising yet, but eventually we will, and so we're really trying to focus on getting a big critical mass in New York City, so it becomes a useful, viable thing in New York, and then hopefully spreads, you know, San Francisco and LA, and spreads throughout the country, and then we're going to go global.
Is there a Facebook presence for it?
Yeah, we have a Facebook page. We just started that last week, and we have, I think, like 100 likes now. But, yeah, if you go on VOLTTAGE on Facebook, and you can like us there. We're on Twitter, at Voltage10.
All right, so we need to get a little Facebook icon there on thevoltage.com.
Yeah, and then and actually we have our – if any of your listeners happen to be in the New York area – we have a live event this Thursday at the Ritz on the 25th from 9 to 12, and I'll be there with a bunch of our models, and we're giving away T-shirts, and it's going to be awesome.
What will you be wearing?
I'm going to be wearing, I think, one of our T-shirts it's our first batch ever, so I haven't even got them yet. I'll probably cut the sleeves off and make it a little
boring. I like the logo. I really like the logo.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm proud of it. Because I was in a big battle with the first V was like, looked like with two lightning bolts on the side that came together, and my other designer was convinced that it looked like a Texas Longhorn.
Oh, yeah, there's that. Now, with your...
We argued and battled about it for a while, but I love it now.
With your two other business partners there, do you guys have very clearly delineated roles, or...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
Okay, so get this. I just had the idea, and I tweeted, because I'm a Twitter whore, I have like 43,000 followers, and I love it, so I just tweeted, I need a web, like, programmer and a code writer. Does anyone know anyone? And so randomly, this guy wrote me from Dallas, and they actually prefer to remain nameless right now, but he was like, hey, I'm a web designer and programmer, and my best friend is a code writer that used to work for IBM. And I'm like, shut the front door. So we started doing Skype calls and talking about this whole process, and it's been perfect. So
nice.
The code writer, like, I don't know, it goes over, he tells me stuff he does. I'm like, okay, well, I don't know what any of that meant. So it all goes flying over my head. But he's amazing. He built the whole site from scratch. And then the web designer is kind of between the two of us. Like, I put in a lot of input on how I wanted it to look and how I wanted it to flow and the logo, and I did the photo shoot with the models and all that stuff. And then he delineates, like, tells the code writer, okay, we need this, 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 and this, and this. It's like, and they all speak web speak, so they can do that, and then... You know, and then I go, oh, okay, that works great.
You're sitting in the corner cutting sleeves off T-shirts, and they're talking about source code.
I mean, it's amazing how much we have done over the internet and by email. It's like how crazy that business works now virtually. But, yeah, I mean, our roles are so – I mean, I just do – I'm the face of the website. I do all the interviews. I do a ton of marketing. I use all my social media to pump it up. And
awesome.
It's been really great.
And there's a lot of fundraising potential here, too, in the future, you know?
Oh, yeah, we didn't even touch on that. The thing is, at this point, we're letting people kind of, we have photo guidelines and language guidelines that are for legal reasons, and also to use CC Bill and to become an app and stuff. There's all these things that you have to do. But right now, people aren't adhering to those, so they don't read them, and so some of the things on there right now we're not really happy with, just because people have put up things that are, you know, damaging to themselves and to the community, and, you know, and it's unfortunate. But we're not the sex police, but there is an image that I want the site to to portray, and I am genuinely really concerned about the health and well-being of the HIV community. So we will eventually be going through all the profiles and monitoring them and saying, like, we love that you want a picture of you in a sling with all this various items up your butt, but, you know, that's really not, we would love that if that was not your main picture.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Maybe move that back a page.
Right, totally. Can you put a smiling picture on the front? But, you know, that kind of thing. But,
we really like that one with you and your dog. Maybe do that
right,
one.
Totally. But what I really, really, really am excited about is, I mean, this has the potential to make a lot of money, and I want to be able to give back to, like, Campar and the Democratic campaign, because, you know, whatever, or, you know, I think we could do a lot of good for a lot of small agencies that are out there struggling and doing good work. And because the other main site that is comparable to ours, it's not HIV specific, which I won't mention, is run by Republicans.
Look at that.
Yeah. So
is this you coming out as a Democrat right now, Jack?
I want to steal their thunder. I don't think I need to come out of one, but sure. Let's just say that if Mitt Romney wins, the site might not even exist anymore, because I'm going to go crawl in a hole and die.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, the website is voltage.com, VOLTTAGE. I'm excited to buy a t-shirt. I want a t-shirt.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm getting 100 in this week. I'll just save you one. Do you want medium, small, medium, or large?
I feel it's going to be a good workout shirt, so it's a large for me.
Okay, I'll save you one.
Awesome, this is very lucrative. And now, the most important thing of this whole interview, Jack, what am I doing wrong with my kick turn?
You mean your flip turn?
Yes.
Swimming?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I would have to, can you send a videotape of it to me and I'll critique it?
Can't you just know, it's just not going well, my flip turn. I need help, Jack. Do you do private swimming lessons? That's going to open the door to a whole different thing.
Right. Yeah, you know what? I mean, I would just say I have not seen it, but, make sure you're getting close enough to the wall. Follow through with your freestyle arm around into the turn. Get as compact as you can and turn as fast as you can.
Okay.
And streamline off the wall. Those are all good things. And you know what? Actually, there's YouTube videos that teach you. So you can look up how to do a flip turn on YouTube.
I'm going to go look it up right now. I think now I get so nervous about it. I've been doing it slow, and that's been screwing me up.
Right.
All right.
Practice, practice.
I'm telling you, t-shirt, swimming advice. What else do I need out of a radio show? This is great for me. VOLTTAGE.com. Or you can stroll on over to jackmcenroth.com to learn all about the fun things happening with Jack. He has a slight Facebook presence. He's very difficult to find there
Facebook. Very difficult to find on Facebook. Unfortunately, people, I can't add any more friends because they stop you at 5,000, but I have a fan page, and just message me and I'll respond.
And if you don't know what he looks like, just Google Sherry Vine and you should be fine right there. And that's pretty much it.
Just Google Lady Bunny and I look exactly like her.
I'm more of a head of lettuce, but sure, you could do that as well. Jack McEnroth, can we not let another 2.5 years go by before you come back on the show?
Please, 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 please.
Silly.
I can't believe it was that long. I would have said a year, believe it or not.
No, 2.5, 2.5.
Oh,
Jack,
God, that's crazy.
Always a pleasure having you on the show. So looking forward to see what's coming up with Voltage.
Thank you. I think I'll be everywhere, so I may be in a city near you very soon.
Sounds good. We love you, Jack.
Thank you.
All the best.
Bye.
All right, folks, and we are back. Well, let's move on to a whole new guest. Elliot London is a film producer and director. He founded London Productions in 2007. He's now in the process of crowdsource funding Friend Film, a feature film about two high school seniors living in Tennessee, dealing with sexuality and gender identity. So much to discuss. Elliot London, welcome to the show, Is So Gay.
Hey, Ken. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
We have a lot of film-related business to talk about, Elliot.
Let's talk.
Let's back up a step. Where did the idea even come from to make this film, Friend Film?
Well, I was shooting a film in Kentucky in 2010, and I'll never forget listening to NPR and hearing about Tyler Clemente's suicide. I knew that I wanted to make a film that was current, and I was just waiting for the right time.
And what about that? First of all, being in Kentucky and hearing about Tyler Clemente had to be a little bit of a juxtaposition.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I live in Los Angeles, so I live in a bubble. And it really hits you when you're outside of a major city and really seeing what life is really like.
Yeah. All right, so you're thinking, I got to do something. My skills are in film. How do you move forward from there?
Well, it's not easy making independent film, especially gay independent film. So I put together a script, and then I thought, you know, I'm kind of out of touch with teenagers. I graduated in 99, so I decided to go on a road trip, and I traveled to 10 states in the South and met many LGBT youth and talked about their stories and just tried to understand what they're going through and how they deal with being gay now in 2012.
How did you even access people? Like, what was your method of even getting in touch with folks?
It was hard. You know, it all starts with the Facebook. You send out a message asking if they know anyone. And then, of course, I would email GSA programs across the country. But it was very, very difficult to find people.
And I would imagine you found some resistance as well.
Yeah, once a few high schools, they're very nervous about talking to people, especially if it's on film. So
right.
It was difficult. It was difficult. But, you know, we found two gems.
Exactly. So you found these two teens, and what was the spark with both of them for you?
Well, the first one was Joseph, who was in a small town outside of Knoxville, Tennessee. Just listening to the 16-year-old tell me his life story, and I just couldn't. I was like, this kid's story is so real and needs to be told.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just watched. So we should tell folks right from the start that there are two teaser trailers out there that folks can check out. One is all about Joseph, and that tore me up a little bit, Elliot.
Yeah. Joseph's story is so fascinating to me because I grew up outside Chicago. So, you know, the northern part of America, and religion plays a factor, but nowhere as near as I really understood in the South. And being gay and trying to live within a very religious area, such as the Bible Belt, it's difficult.
Oh my gosh.
I really had no idea.
So what was the process? How much did you follow him around?
You know, I flew back to Tennessee three times. You know, the first two was to talk to him, talk with his mother, you know, because it's a lot to have someone that is only 16 years old to be on camera.
Right.
And, you know, it can open up. You know, I just wanted to make sure he felt safe and his mother felt safe. Then I followed him for 3 days,
mm-hmm.
and we cut together these 6 minutes.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So what was his mom like? Was she reluctant? Was she excited? I would imagine that would be one of the most difficult parts. As someone who has done research around sexual orientation with minors, the parent piece is a rough piece of the puzzle.
You know, it is difficult, especially for a parent, but she was incredible in the way that she knew that his story would help many others and that it wasn't really about her. It was about him.
Yeah.
And so she let him do it.
She let him do it. Awesome. And did you see an arc with him, you know, following him over those 3 days? I would imagine you got to know him. Just he was a completely different person to you by the end.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, when you do interviews with people, you really don't get to know them that well. You only kind of hear their story. But when you're sitting with them in their car and getting gas and getting food at the fast food place and meeting their friends, you really kind of see who they are and how they interact and how they're evolving. It's interesting because as the filmmaker, you really can't interact too much and tell them or give them advice. So it's hard. You want to just tell them if it's all going to be okay.
Now, did he want to see the footage after you were done with it?
He did want to see it, but I don't let anyone see their footage until it's completely cut.
Gotcha. Okay. I'd be nervous about that. I don't know what Elliot's going to shoot, what he's not going to shoot.
Well, I always have, before I release it, I have a sit-down talk, and we talk about, you know, because for me, I don't want to do anything that would exploit the kid and get them in any danger or any trouble. So, you know, we talk about things, you know, do we say your last name? Do we say what town you live in? You know, what can we, how far can we talk about without it being too much?
Right. Right. All right. So that's Joseph, but then we also have Allie.
Yes. So Allie, she's from a small town in Arkansas. And even though the film is going to be based off two teenagers, the second story is based off Allie. And I found Allie in Little Rock and she blew me away. I was like, this is a 17-year-old transgender teen that is strong enough to be who she wants to be and lives in Arkansas.
That kind of blows your mind. I mean, you're a Chicago guy. I'm a New York City guy. I don't think that I can fully wrap my mind around what that would even be like.
Oh, it was unbelievable. And it took a lot of talking. And she was finally convinced and really excited. And to visit her in that town was just mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And
oh, I bet.
She's from Stuttgart, Arkansas.
And that's like a real place.
Yeah, we're talking about, you know, blue-collar, you know, blue-collar America, works really hard, and, you know, it has a center, Walmart, and that's about it. It's over an hour and a half from any major hub.
Yeah. Wow. And what was her arc like? What did you get to know over that spate of time?
You know, I really found a girl that wants to see the world but is a bit scared. And I see that in these small towns, is they don't know how to make the leap.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of, you know, confidence to be able to do what she is doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So now what happens? Okay, so we have all this footage and we're putting it together. What do we need the crowdsource funding for?
So what we're trying to do is we're trying to raise $81,000. That is for us to go into production. Everything is tax deductible, and you know, making a movie is not cheap. So this is what we're trying to do.
And we will link up to that. So we'll link up to that. But for folks who are listening, you can go to Indiegogo.com/friendproject. But you could just click on the link right on our site and get there, and that'll be easy enough. There are different levels that people can support this at.
Absolutely. First off, every donation is tax deductible, and I want people to understand that even a dollar counts, and we forget how much we actually spend unconsciously during a day. Our Starbucks can be like $3.
Oh, yeah.
You know, $2 in a parking meter for 15 minutes. Even the tax on that lunch we get, we really don't notice it. So if many people are able to give a dollar, it will help us tremendously, and that dollar is going to stretch. We do have a great incentive. For $30, we will send you a DVD when we do our wide release after the production is done.
Perfect. Perfect. And talk to me about you. What is it about the medium of film that particularly speaks to you? Why focus your energy on making queer cinema?
I know. Isn't that an excellent question? I should be doing blockbuster movies.
Of course you should.
Ever since I was 16 running around the Blockbuster in Illinois waiting for that one LGBT film to come out, I knew I had to make queer cinema. I just knew it. I feel that we have an issue. You know, there is LGBT cinema, but it's not American. And because we don't have the funding, it's starting to disappear. So I really want to work as hard as I can to, you know, kind of reinvigorate it.
Yeah. Now, you have some knowledge about our brothers and sisters in Australia, do you not?
Yes.
I thought that you did. Is there more of a plethora of queer cinema there?
Yeah, Australia, I mean, here's the thing about these great countries like Australia, Canada, New Zealand, and the UK. They all have these incredible grants and funding from the government. The government helps.
Yeah.
So there's so much more cinema. So when I tend to think, what was the last great movie I saw that was queer, it was Weekend. It was English. So I ask everyone, when was a great American LGBT film you saw that was independent? It's hard to think about.
It's kind of hard to think about.
Yeah. And you can't say Brokeback Mountain because that was millions of dollars.
Right.
So that's why I want us to all chip in as a community and, you know, to step away from our cell phones and our amazing routines in life and just think, hey, what will this do, a dollar?
Wait, Elliot, if someone asks me tomorrow, what should I answer? I need an answer now for the indie American LGBT movie that I enjoyed. Give me something to go with here in case someone asks me tomorrow.
Oh, what is the great American movie you've seen?
Yeah. I need some more American LGBT queer cinema, because I'm thinking right now, well, I cobbled together, back when I was doing some education about LGBT students and alcohol, I cobbled together different clips of movies, from movies of gay characters using alcohol and other drugs, and I quickly realized that almost all of my films were British.
Exactly. Exactly. I think in America, most of our LGBT cinema is fluffy comedy.
Yeah.
And that's no offense to the filmmakers. I think it's fantastic. I think, but what's happening now is TV is stepping ahead of us. You know, TV is showing these dynamic characters or LGBT. So what's happening is film is kind of, we're kind of dying out a bit. So we need to really show amazing dynamic characters that live in real worlds. And that's why it's so important to continue, you know, American queer cinema.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, so we can send this link out to tons of people, and people can change their routine even for a couple days and cobble together quite a few dollars to support this.
Yeah, I want everyone to feel like they're part of the film, you know, and everyone gets a thank you credit, whether it's $1, $10, or $100. I don't care if I have to input 20,000 names. It's so important that this is a group and community effort.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you've been to some of our favorite events, so we got to grill you a little bit. You've spent time at, you know, we talk about it every single year because we have Mariah Hansen on the show talking about the Dyna. You've actually spent some time at the Dyna.
Oh my gosh, I love the Dyna. I love Mariah. You know what, I have to give this out to JD DeSalvatore, an amazing producer that just got diagnosed with cancer. She took me under her wing with no experience and was like, okay, here's a camera. And my first shooting experience was the Dyna. And it was a whole new world.
There's some lesbians there.
There are so many lesbians that by day three I was getting confused. But it's an amazing event, and I love how they all come together.
Yeah. Oh, it's one of our highlights every year, having Mariah on the show right in advance of the Dyna, trying to get us to go out there. But it sounds like an incredible experience.
You know, Mariah's amazing. The day I met her, she's like, I believe in you. And she's been an incredible supporter of my work.
Love it. Love it. And then a few weeks ago, we had Andrea James on the show, and she was talking about being the treasurer on the board of Outfest. And you've been to Outfest.
I am an Outfest alumni. I'm very happy.
What does that mean?
Well, I had a short film in Outfest 2 years ago called 306. And, you know, Outfest is so important to me. I feel it's one of the most important film festivals. And I was so honored. It took 4 attempts and I finally got in.
Look at that. And what was the experience like there?
I'll never forget when we screened our short and I got to sit on the Director's Guild stage. I was like, wow.
I hope there was a Q&A. There was a Q&A, right?
There was a Q&A, but it was short, so I want to get a feature in there so I can sit up there a little longer.
So is that one of the goals with this film? We got to get this one to Outfest.
You know, honestly, with this film, for me, the goal is to get it out there.
Okay.
So I really would love to play a few film festivals, but, you know, the more that we crowdfund, the more that we can donate to educational libraries, and that's our goal next year.
Love that.
We want this film to be able to go. So less investors, more crowdsourcing, give the movie away.
Oh, we love that. We love that. All right, so if someone's on the fence and they're thinking, because we, you know, look, one of the things we talk about every week on this show is that there's so many amazing projects out there, and we would love to be able to support every single one of them. But for those of us who are thinking, all right, what can I support this week? Why should they support your film?
You know, that's a great question, because it is very oversaturated, and I have to be like, support mine. I just want everyone to know that, you know, I spent 3 months of every working dollar I had traveling, trying to really find some amazing stories just to prove to you that it's just not a campaign that threw up a couple, you know, glossy pictures. These are real people that we're trying to show a narrative story with.
Love it. Love it. And now what else are you working on? Or is the focus has got to be, I would assume, on this?
This is my focus.
Yeah.
I want to see this come to life. I want to shoot it in February. I want to see an amazing piece of film made.
Well, we will definitely host a screening here in Vermont. We would love to have you. Any big events coming up that we can raise money for this?
Ooh. Well, no, honestly, we've got 14 days left on this campaign, so please, please, please. We're trying to get Ellen to see Allie's video. That's our big thing.
Oh, does she love Ellen? I love that part of the video.
So we, if everyone can send a little Twitter. What is it, Twitter or tweet?
They can tweet to Ellen.
Yeah, to tweet Ellen to see Allie's video, I would be much appreciated.
That would be awesome. All right, well, the website is indiegogo.com/friendproject. Elliot London, let's get it out there and financed and done.
I can't wait.
All right.
Thank you for your support.
Well, we are here to help you. And you're going to keep us posted, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Awesome.
Just a phone call away.
Awesome. Elliot London, all the best. Let's get this financed.
Thanks, Ken.
Thanks, Sarah.
And I am all alone. There is no one here beside me. And my problems have all gone. There is no one to deride me. But you got to have friends. The feelings are so strong. You got to have friends to make that day last long. I got some friends, but they're gone. Someone came and took them away, and from the dust till the
folks, and we are back. Well, we have a little bit of time left on this week's episode, so let's take a quick jaunt through this week's LGBT news. Following up on our conversation from weeks ago about the Log Cabin Republicans, that group representing gay Republicans, have now endorsed Mitt Romney. Saying this decision of endorsing Mitt Romney says, quote, "We are Americans first." In an explanatory statement, they said that their endorsement of the former Massachusetts governor was, quote, qualified, and that it planned to be most active in working for its endorsed House and Senate candidates, and it dismissed Romney's signed pledge to ban same-sex marriage via an amendment to the U.S. Constitution as, quote, an empty promise. So they've just decided, the Log Cabin Republicans, even though Mitt Romney has signed this pledge, he went out of his way, it was one of the first things that he did, to sign a pledge promising to ban same-sex marriage, the Log Cabin Republicans, who I would almost guarantee, in fact, I guarantee, they have never had any FaceTime with Mitt Romney. They have not sat down with Mitt Romney, but they have decided, the Log Cabin Republicans, that Mitt Romney signing that pledge was an empty promise. That's a really bold, out there thing to decide, so I hope they're right on that one. The group's national board of directors said the decision to endorse came, quote, after careful consideration and consultation with our members and chapters, as well as communication with Mitt Romney and his campaign team, which I just think is completely bogus. And this was their full quote. The decision to endorse is the right one for our members, our community, and for the nation as a whole. Despite our disagreement with Governor Romney on the issue of marriage, on balance, it is clear in today's economic climate, concern for the future of our country must be the highest priority. And they went on to say, and this is the kicker, on issues of particular concern to the LGBT community, we believe Governor Romney will move the ball forward. Now, you're thinking the rest of the quote is compared to other candidates currently in the field. No, 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 no. We believe Governor Romney will move the ball forward compared to past Republican presidents. The bar is not really set super high on that one. So, okay, maybe Governor Romney might move the ball forward compared to past Republican presidents, but who are we comparing to here? We got George W. Bush, Ronald Reagan, who couldn't even say the word AIDS, and George H. Bush, who, you know, wasn't in the White House that long. So, yes, Governor Romney might move the ball forward compared to past Republican presidents, but obviously the choice is clear between Mitt Romney and Barack Obama. So, I have to read this last piece too. They said, no matter who is in the White House, it is crucial our community always has a credible voice speaking out on behalf of LGBT Americans. They just lose their credibility when they say that signing this anti-marriage pledge is an empty promise. They lose their credibility when they acknowledge that Governor Romney is absolutely against equality for all LGBT Americans. They finish their quote by saying, log cabin Republicans will be that voice to President Mitt Romney. No, no, they won't. He will not be turning to them. So, I don't know. I'm really disappointed. I've said on past shows that I don't make a point of bashing the log cabin Republicans, but this election's getting closer and closer, and the fact that there are my brothers and sisters in this fight for equality who have decided that this man who's gone out of his way to say, no, I do not support you being equal citizens as the people who live next door to you, I don't believe that they're out there fighting for this guy and getting votes for Mitt Romney. So that's just really disappointing. That's the political piece. Although you should put out there that with all the debates, and there's a lot of talk on this right now, all the debates done right now and all the thousands and thousands of words spoken, including on domestic issues, marriage equality did not come up at all. Now, there are a number of issues that did not come up at all, including global warming, which you would think would be an issue we would want to get their take on. But gay marriage did not come up at all. Many pundits are saying that that really helps Mitt Romney, that he did not have to clarify his stance, that anything he would have put out there would have made him look less appealing to so many different Americans, especially given that the majority of Americans support same-sex marriage. So the fact that gay marriage did not come up in these debates pretty much helped him. So that's the political piece. We will, of course, keep our eyes on this. Now, this is kind of an interesting story coming out of Canada. The North Vancouver School District, it took more than four decades, but they have now officially apologized to Robin Tomlin, who back in 1970, in his yearbook, this North Vancouver school, they say accidentally, it slipped their attention, put the word fag next to his name in his 1970 school yearbook. They said, this is what Tomlin, who is now 60, has said. He said, quote, they just said how sorry they were and how it slipped through the cracks, and they'll institute remedies so that it won't happen again. He said he was satisfied with the apology, which concludes a four-year campaign to reconcile the hideous anti-gay bullying codified in the Argyle Secondary School yearbook of 1970. Originally, the school agreed to reprint the yearbook page, but until recently refused to issue an in-person apology. So now, 4 decades. So change, folks. It can happen. 40 years later, they have apologized there to Robin Tomlin. So that's on one side of the school issues. On the other side of the school issues, we turn our attention to Aurora. And you need to go look up this story. This is a school district that had decided, this is Aurora, Illinois, the East Aurora School District 131 repealed their policy intended to keep transgender students safe. On October 15th, this school board members passed a policy detailing how transgender students should be treated. And now, just a few days ago, on October 19th, they have reversed that decision during a packed emergency meeting. They are saying that they rescinded this protections. And again, so they went out of their way to grant protections to trans students. And then they went astronomically farther to get back together and say, whoops, our bad. We did not mean to extend these protections. They are officially saying that they need more state guidance before they really put this out there. But a lot of folks in the community are saying no, they just bowed to religious pressure. So that's really disappointing. Again, the idea that you take those steps to issue those protections, it is so much different to then step up in front of the community and say, you know what? We were protecting more students, but we need to back off of that. We need to not have that many protections. So that's in Aurora, and we're going to keep our eyes on that as well. So that's pretty much it for this week's episode. Our thanks, of course, to Jack McEnroth, our buddy Jack McEnroth, and to filmmaker Elliot London strolling over in there to help that crowdsource funding. A lot of exciting things happening in upcoming weeks of The Show Is So Gay. Let's just put it out there right now. Governor Howard Dean will be on next week's show. Governor Howard Dean, who is just a hero to the LGBT community and his work here in Vermont, where This Show Is So Gay broadcasts out of. So he will be on the show. And we will also have an appearance from Nathan Mansky from I'm From Driftwood. So very exciting show for next week. And then in a few weeks, Stacey Ann Chin, amazing poet extraordinaire, will be on the show. So a lot of exciting things happening. You can, of course, keep tabs on all that by going to thisshowissogay.com. Go to the Facebook page and type in This Show Is So Gay, like us. And, of course, send an email. We want to hear who you want on the show. We can get them. I'm feeling confident. Send that email on over to ken@thisshowissogay.com. So get out there, folks. Go do whatever it is that you do best to use your voice to make a difference in this world, to raise up the voices of your brothers and sisters who are underrepresented in this world. And of course, while you're doing that amazing thing of using your voice, please remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?
Must be the clothes or the lack thereof. Must be the way they spin a bottle of vodka. Must be the lights, a dark and dim. Must be the way they lean on him. Tell me, why do I always fall in love with a bartender?
One for you.
I look to the mixture I am under your spell. Last